my lovely wife, Michelle,
drink,
is actually out of town at a conference. Don't worry, by the time this episode airs, she'll be back. And I don't mean to brag, but I've got some steak marinating in homemade wine at home that I'm planning on enjoying because she's not a big red meat eater. I can finally watch American Horror Story 1984.
Welcome to Cinema Chop Shop.
She won't watch that with me.
Watch.
So
shop,
you gotta treat yourself.
Retrofit.
When the cat's away, the mice will play. Do you think, I know it doesn't really count, but do you think if I add up all the porn I watch over the whole year, I can count it as like a movie?
One movie?
For my 2019 movie marathon?
Sure.
All right, well, this is not a Batching It Up podcast. Welcome to Season 5, Episode 21 of Cinema Chop Shop. This is a movie podcast that concedes that remakes are going to happen, so why shouldn't movie buffs like us, decide who is recast in those iconic roles? My name is...
All That Trav.
Yeah, it is. All That Trav, and I will be your host. And I am joined, as always, here in the shop by my co-host and co-producer, Marishawn Man, a.k.a. Evasive Action, a.k.a.
The Sean is still working.
And in addition, we are extremely excited to welcome back to the show, back-to-back episodes.
What?
And her name is The Franchelsi Connection 2, Electric Kool-Aid Boogaloo. Further description of the show, the tagline says, watch, chop, retrofit, because essentially that's what we do here. We watch older movies, sometimes classic films, sometimes tire fires, and then we retrofit them by tweaking the design with new parts, aka actors who are at the height of their powers. And a quick disclaimer, we're not actually in favor of the remake, reboot, sequel-dependent cinematic culture. This is more of an exercise in satire and irony. We try to be funny.
And sometimes we succeed.
And that will bring us into a little mini segment called Movie News. And this is where Sean and I, throughout the week, in our spare time, we pay attention to a few of the goings-on in the world of film and actors and, you know, all the gossip rags, really. We try to pay attention to those. And as is our tradition, we're going to start it off with an RIP. In fact, we've got a couple of RIPs this week. So first off, it's a RIP. You just sent this to me today. Nick Powell, who was a producer of the movie The Crying Game, is dead at 69 years old. And what else did you tell me about him, Sean?
He's also the co-founder of Virgin Records with his boyhood pal, Richard Branson.
Okay, right. Okay, so the record company by Richard Branson and him is Virgin Records.
Right.
And then they've also got the airline, right? Is that still a thing?
Well, yeah, it's still a thing, but I don't think he had anything to do with that.
Oh, really? No, yeah. I'm sure he does. Well, yeah,
Richard Virgin. Branson.
Well, Richard Branson did, yeah.
But this guy, yeah. Okay, gotcha. And then also, RIP to Young and the Restless star William Wintersoul, who's dead at 88. Now, Sean, I know you're a fan of the show. How did you take this?
All broken up, man.
Okay. All right. I was hoping I had it right that Young and the Restless was your soap, and I wasn't getting it.
I prefer to call them stories.
Your stories. Right. So RIP to both of those peoples. And then moving it into some headlines, there's quite a few of them, so we're going to go rapid fire on this, okay? First, we've got a Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse sequel is officially on the way. Then, this is a little bit late, but on the heels of Halloween, Sarah Jessica Parker says that the original Hocus Pocus witches have all said yes to a sequel. Also, this one was crazy. There was a report that, which set, Sean?
The set of the upcoming Marvel film, The Eternals.
The Eternals. So it is movie news. Was evacuated after a bomb was discovered. I didn't really follow up on that. Did they ever figure out who was behind it or anything?
I don't know, but Marvel movies don't bomb, so.
Oh. Then we've got, this is a tragedy, James Dean via CGI to star in a new Vietnam War movie 65 years after his death.
Who thought this was a good idea?
Right.
Somebody who thinks that publicity stunts make good movies. Then, this is even more tragic, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences has disqualified the Oscar entry from Nigeria. It's a film called Lionheart, and they disqualified it from the Oscars for being in English, despite that being Nigeria's official language.
Right.
That's so bullshit.
Yeah, it sounds racist.
Oh, like, absolutely.
Really racist. Then finally, we're saving that one for later. So that's going to...
Oh, there's one more.
Oh, there is. Go for it.
Spinal Tap.
Oh, yeah. Please, tell us.
For years, all the guys have been kind of shortchanged. They've been suing Universal, to get paid for all of their royalties and stuff. And apparently, like, Shearer originally had $98 in royalties.
Oh, damn. Well, he's not hurting for cash.
Well, I know, but still.
He's pretty good on some pocket change these days.
Yeah, I think the figure is like an $80 million figure or something ridiculous.
That settlement goes where?
It goes to 11.
All right, so that will wrap us up on movie news for this week, which brings us to our next segment, which as soon as that phone rings, oh, there it is. That must mean it's time for the Department of Corrections Department, Chief Corrections Officer Dana.
Ahoy, inmates. Paul Newman was 42 in Cool Hand Luke. The first use of the term rat race is in an article about Samuel Goldsmith, published in The New Yorker in 1953, entitled A Farewell to String and Sealing Wax. Since Stalag 17 came out in 1953, I suppose it's possible they got the term from the article, but I'd say the screenplay was probably written before the article or even before the movie came out. So I'm going with pure coincidence. I don't know what string and sealing wax refers to, but I think maybe the article dealt with using newer methods of scientific research and leaving old ones behind. All right, you two better not even consider trying to bust out, or it'll be...
Spotlights! Sirens! Rifles! Firing!
Oh, you may make it out with a bullet in your back. See you next time.
All right. Thank you, Dana, for that. And we here in the shop appreciate you going above and beyond this week on the Department of Corrections Department, because that's how you would have to escape prison, is by going above and beyond, or below and beyond. However, you're going to have to go beyond. So that will close the doors on the Department of Corrections Department for this week, which brings us to the theme of the episode. In honor and celebration of what would have been his 87th birthday, we're talking the films of Roy Scheider. Roy Scheider. What do we know? What do we know Roy from?
Everybody knows him from the Jaws films.
The first two, right?
Right.
And I believe last week I mistakenly said he was in Jaws the Revenge, which is not the subtitle of the second Jaws. It's just Jaws 2. So he was an American actor. From films like Jaws, of course, Jaws 2. He was in Marathon Man. He was the son of an auto mechanic, and he didn't originally want to be an actor. He was more of an athletic type. He played college baseball, and what else were you saying?
He was an amateur boxer, which is how he got his famous profile of his broken nose.
His kind of crooked, angular nose.
He got it broken in his first official bout, which he lost.
Okay.
And then he went 8-1 for his amateur career and actually beat the guy who originally handed him his defeat. So
8-1 is good.
Yeah, that's...
It's like only one win in 8 losses.
No.
It's the other way around. But you count the other guy, right?
He's got 8 more wins. He's got 8 more wins than I do, so...
All right. Almost. So, also, he was in things like Romeo is Bleeding. And apart from his films, he also appeared in television shows such as Steven Spielberg's Sequest DSV, also Third Watch, Love of Life, and The Secret Storm. In general, how do we feel about him as an actor, guys? Chelsea, what do you think?
I think he's pretty good. I guess I didn't really recognize or realize who he was.
Right.
And then, I was pretty surprised.
Gotcha.
I always associated him as being a cop.
Yeah, he does a lot of police roles. And was a little bit typecast as a tough guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's who we're going to be talking about today. And that brings us to our next segment, which is a fun one called the Midnight Double Feature. And this is where we go around the panel and we each mention two films that are within the topic at hand. And tonight, that is, like we said, the films of Roy Scheider. And Chelsea, did you say you did not have a double?
I don't.
You don't? Okay, so I'm going to throw it over to Sean for your double feature tonight.
I'm going to jump in with 1973's The Seven Ups.
Okay.
This is the quasi-sequel to The French Connection.
Right.
Which there is a French Connection, too,
uh-huh,
with Gene Hackman, but does not have Roy Scheider in it.
Correct.
This one instead does have Roy in it as the same character.
The same character.
A buddy. And this was that police officer in real life, mm-hmm, Grosso.
Yeah.
He was like the technical advisor for The French Connection. He's the same role here. And this particular story actually is based on his experience in the police force. Roy Scheider's character, Buddy, and six other guys, they formed the Seven Ups, a special secret unit in the New York Police Department.
Uh-huh.
And it's, if you've seen The French Connection, it kind of has the same kind of feel, just hard-boiled police drama.
Hey, guys, you want to go out and get a beer? You know what we drink here. What are you going to pair that with, Sean?
I'm going to pair it with 1976's Marathon Man.
Marathon Man. All right, tell me about this
movie. It's more of a Dustin Hoffman film. I have always wanted to watch this because I've always seen the Laurence Olivier, Dustin Hoffman scene. Olivier, of course, plays a Nazi war criminal called Christian Zell.
Hmm.
He is trying to make his way back into the United States. Roy Scheider, I should say, in this film, is a secret agent.
Oh, cool.
And Dustin Hoffman is his younger brother. And this is how Dustin kind of gets roped into this intrigue. And Zell captures him. And the iconic scene is Dustin Hoffman strapped down to a chair. And Zell has all of his dental tools out. And he's like, is it secret? Is it safe? Is it safe? And Dustin has no idea what he's talking about. And they think that he's got some sort of secret. And unfortunately, it's not giving anything away. Roy Scheider dies about halfway through the film, but it's critical to the storyline, of course, in order for Dustin to fall into the crosshairs of Zell. So, good film. I really like that one, and I've always wanted to see it.
Do you think that the name of the character Christian Zell was symbolic of, like, Christian zealots? Even though that's not really associated with Nazism, but maybe as like an overzealous personality.
I think so because there is a scene where he is trying to grift some diamonds in Manhattan, and he's amongst a lot of Jewish people, and he's even like there's a transaction, and there's a guy who's got the tattoo showing on his arm, and the guy recognizes Zell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when things kind of get really hairy for him.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a cool film. I strongly recommend watching Marathon Man. Seven Ups, I think you could take it or leave it. It's okay. It's nothing great.
Okay. Well, the formula that I used was originally just two movies that shared a theme. And then it occurred to me that, like we were saying, Roy Scheider actually wanted to pursue athletics. So I picked a couple of his baseball films.
Okay, cool.
The first one is called Tiger Town. Shout out Clemson Tigers. Ew. No, it's actually about the Detroit Tigers. Tiger Town is from 1983. It's got no rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Directed by Alan Shapiro, who I couldn't find a lot else on him, but it was the first movie aired on the Disney Channel. The first movie produced for the Disney Channel.
Huh.
So Alex, who's our main character, and his father are devoted Detroit Tigers fans, even now as they are struggling. Alex's favorite player is aging star Billy Young, played by Roy Scheider, who's having a subpar season, which is also his last. His only remaining wish is to play in the World Series before retiring. He begins to miraculously hit home runs whenever 12-year-old fan Alex, played by Justin Henry, is in the stands. And the first, like I said, the first television film produced for the Disney Channel. And it was awarded, get this, a Cable Ace Award in 1984 for Best Dramatic Film.
How was it?
It was not great. Okay. You can actually watch it on YouTube. You can watch it in up to 480p definition. And there's a lot of, spoiler alert, the dad isn't around for most of the movie. He is at the beginning, but he's not.
Sounds like later. A Disney film to me.
Yeah, right? And the mom's like, you can't just wish things to happen, Alex. And he's like, yes, I can. Dad told me so. If Dad were here, he'd tell you. That kind of thing. So it's not great, but there is, like, you know, some nostalgia to it. Kind of like in American Horror Story 1984 when the intro is like an old VHS style.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. So I'm pairing that with a movie that unfortunately I did not get a chance to see. I wanted to and tried various options of watching it, but did not get a chance to see it. But it is another baseball movie called Night Game from 1989. And it also has no rating on Rotten Tomatoes, but it was directed by Peter Masterson, who is the father of Mary Stuart Masterson.
Okay.
For Real in Really Reels. Scheider plays former minor league baseball player turned Galveston homicide detective Mike Seaver, whose investigation into a serial killer reveals a disturbing connection to a local baseball team's record. The detective races against the clock to catch the serial killer before yet another victim is mysteriously murdered.
Is this a Growing Pains spinoff?
Right?
No. Oh, wait. Mike Seaver? I think it's spelled differently. It's S-E-A-V-E-R.
I think that's how it's spelled in
Kirk
the show.
Kirk Cameron spells
I
it.
I don't know.
1989. So.
Wasn't that the dad's name?
No, that was Kirk Cameron.
Was it Kirk Cameron's character?
Yeah.
Mike? Interesting. I did not notice that because I've kind of tried to bleach Kirk Cameron out of my memory.
Right.
But yeah, that's my pair up.
That's cool.
Is Tiger Town and Night Game. That will wrap us up on the Midnight Double Feature, which is going to bring us into our feature segment this evening, which is a very fun one, as is that music from Dr. Bob. It's called The Recast. And The Recast is where we take a film from within the catalog of the subject at hand, and we talk about how it would probably be ruined by recasting all of the original actors. And so we pick a few of the leads and we hypothetically recast them with actors from today. I trust that you guys are ready to recast The French Connection from 1971.
All right, Popeye's here. Get your hands on your heads. Get off the bar and get on the wall.
What's my name?
Popeye Doyle. If he doesn't like you, he'll take you apart. And it's all perfectly legal because Doyle fights dirty.
You want to take a ride there, fat man?
And plays rough.
Anybody want a milkshake?
Doyle is bad news, but he's a good cop.
We're going now. Bye.
Who is that clown?
Jewish lucky. What about the last of big time spenders? You make him?
No, you.
He's spreading it around like the Russians are in Jersey.
They say we stick around and give him a tail.
Our friend's name is Boca. Salvatore Boca. B-O-C-A. From downtown, they're pretty sure he pulled off a contract on a guy named DeMarco.
And that's not a drop. I'll open up a charge for you at Bloomingdale's.
B-O-C-A.
Doesn't miss it.
And then on our own, after working a whole day and night, we tail him to Brooklyn. And we sat on it for practically a week. Now, who do we come up with?
The French Connection. A millionaire exporter with a record too clean to be true. And Doyle knows it. But he's been known to make mistakes.
Your hunches have backfired before, Doyle.
This time, he can't afford to be wrong.
I need bust, Bob! I want a bust!
I know the deal hasn't gone down. I know it hasn't. I can feel it. I'm dead certain.
Last time you're dead certain, we went for the dead cop.
All right, let's hit him.
Hit him! All right, nobody move! Put your hands in the air!
The stakeout.
Popeye, it's me, it's me.
The payoff. Chase.
Don't stop.
Hey, Coke, you all right?
French Connection.
Classic film, really awesome. Iconic car chase scene for sure.
Yeah.
Directed by William Friedkin, who also did The Exorcist and To Live and Die in L.A. And more recently, not super recently, but within the past decade-ish, he did Killer Joe. Mm-hmm. That movie with Matthew McConaughey and, I can't remember her name. She might have been the girl in Sucker Punch, something like that. And so we've got the iconic character Popeye Doyle, played by
Great
Gene Hackman,
name.
Along with Buddy Russo, played by Roy Scheider. and they get wind of a big shipment of heroin and begin a tale of the suspects and their French connection to French nationals who are the European link. As money troubles begin for the Hoods, they decide to kill Popeye and Buddy to give them enough room to bring in the heroin. So that is the crux of our conflict for the film.
You know, I'd like more than the car chase is the foot chase that precedes the car chase.
Yeah, that's good.
I don't know if they roll that into the same thing, but I think it's not the same because there is a break. He loses him on the foot chase.
I agree.
But I find the foot chase to be a much better piece of film work than the car chase because car chases are so prevalent in 70s films anyway. And this foot chase was so neat because he ends up on the subway platform trying to get the Frenchman. And he does that really cool move where he like steps off the subway, mm-hmm. steps back in, mm-hmm. and Popeye gets left out in the cold. Uh-huh.
And there's that scene where you see his face.
And he does this little bye-bye kind of thing, which comes back wave. To play later in the film.
All right. So the roles that we're going to recast are the role of Popeye, the role of the French drug smuggler Alain Charnier, played by Fernando Rey, and... Oh, I should have mentioned that Gene Hackman plays Popeye.
Right.
Gene Hackman plays Popeye Doyle. And then we've got Detective Buddy Cloudy Russo, who's played by Roy Scheider. All right. Sound good? You guys ready to play? All right. Only one can win. So first we've got the role of Popeye played by Gene Hackman. And as our guest, Chelsea.
No, I don't want to go first.
As our co-host and co-producer, would you like to go first and then Chelsea, then me?
I'll go first for sure. All right, so let's see. Gene Hackman's 41 in this role. I'm going a little bit younger with this, and I'm going to pick an actor who has excelled, in my opinion, as a police officer.
Okay.
But he's known for many other things besides his work as a cop. He is in The Dead Don't Die. He was in Black Klansman. He's in all the new Star Wars movies. But currently, he's getting ready to be on Broadway with Carrie Russell in a renewal of the play Burn This.
Mm-hmm.
It's Adam Driver.
All right. Ooh, yeah. Like yeah. He's pretty hot right now. All right. Chelsea?
So my actor, I feel like he has a lot more potential than he's given credit for. Like, he was in Transformers. He was in really dumb Nicholas Sparks remake movies. I'm going to go with Josh Duhamel.
Josh Duhamel, okay. Mm-hmm. The look-alike to Timothy Oliphant. Josh Duhamel and Timothy Oliphant. I'm not the only one who thinks
Wasn't
that.
Wasn't he in like that Dracula Untold movie? Am I thinking of the right guy?
I don't think that's the right guy.
Okay.
Josh Duhamel is in Vegas, the TV show Vegas. Yeah. Vegas! All right.
Who's your pick?
My pick is also in his 40s, but he's in his later 40s. He's 49 now. He's had roles in classic films like True Romance. He was also in the movie Higher Learning. He was in Poetic Justice. It's Michael Rapaport.
I love Michael Rapaport.
Michael Rapaport is slowly turning into Gene Hackman. He would be perfect for this role.
He's not only is he a great actor. Have you ever seen him do like sports commentary?
He's funny and he's entertaining.
He is so good.
There was also some like viral video about him recently in some weird cat or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, look at this cat. All right. Next up, we've got the bad guy. We've got Alain Charnier, who was played by Fernando Rey, who was 54 at the time. So still don't want to go first, Chelsea?
I mean, I'll go first.
All right, sweet.
So, I mean, this guy's not, like, French or anything, but I love him as a villain.
Yeah.
Like, he's amazing. You're going to know him from Law & Order SVU.
Okay.
I went with Christopher Maloney.
Oh, yeah.
He plays such a good villain.
Yeah, he's good. I like him. Christopher Maloney's a good pick. All right, so, Sean...
All right, so Fernando Rey is Spanish, actually, even though he's playing a French.
That's correct.
And my actor is not French either, but he is of Latin descent.
Okay.
I believe. He was in Moana.
Okay.
The Odd Life of Timothy Green. He was in Mary Poppins.
Returns?
Returns.
Okay. Because there's no way he was in Moana and Mary Poppins.
I had you on the edge of your seat, though, didn't I?
Who is it?
Hang on a second. Everyone knows him from his Broadway role of Hamilton. Oh. It's Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Man, that's crazy. I shopped him as well. Not even for this role, though.
But he looks just like him. Yeah, it's a face value pick, but it's also a damn fine actor.
All right. Well, we mentioned that Fernando Rey was Spanish. He was 54 at the time. My actor, even though the character needs to be French for the film and the title, he's also Spanish. But he's going to play a Frenchman. And he can do it because he's very versatile. He is in the recent, he's 59 now, 59. He's in the recent film, The Laundromat. He was also in a really creepy movie called The Skin I Live In. He's in a movie, a 2019 movie or maybe upcoming movie called Pain and Glory. You guys know it yet? He was in Desperado.
Oh, okay.
He was in those Nasal Necks commercials. It's Antonio Banderas, who is from Spain, not Mexico. He's from Spain.
Yes.
So yeah, that is my pick for that. How are we feeling so far, guys?
Great.
All right, good deal. We've got one more, the man of the hour, Detective Buddy Cloudy Russo. And he was played by Roy Scheider, who was 39 at the time. Chelsea, are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
My actor was in the Avengers movies.
Okay.
The Hurt Locker.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah.
He has a striking resemblance to you.
Nah.
Oh, yeah.
And?
I'm going with Jeremy Renner.
Jeremy Renner! He thinks that I look more like him than I think he looks like me. But it's fine.
I mean,
it's fine.
I can see that.
Yeah. So it turns out that the upcoming Hawkeye TV series on Disney Plus was originally supposed to be a standalone film, but they pushed it to Disney Plus, and there's a fan petition to replace him as Hawkeye in the show.
Yeah, I know. I started that petition. Yes.
All right. So, Sean, who's going to be your pick for Cloudy? Cloudy Russo.
All right. So this
Cloudy with a Chance of Russo.
This actor is 35 years old, and he was in, he's in Supergirl, the TV series.
Ah.
And he's also done some crossover work on The Flash on CW.
Okay, so now I'm just thinking about those naked pictures of Supergirl.
Nice. He was in the movie adaptation of The Last 5 Years. And he is going to be, or is...
But what's the name of the adaptation?
Hmm? Oh, well, it's based on a musical.
What?
The Last 5 Years.
I don't care when it came out. What is it called? Dick.
He's going to play the role of Tony in a remounting of West Side Story. His name's Jeremy Jordan.
Okay.
So
you've gone with a musical.
It is going to be The French Connection, the musical.
All right.
And it's going to be more like a personals ad where it's like, you, I saw you on the subway.
Uh-huh.
You waved at me. I threw down my bag. Yes. It's our French connection.
French missed connections.
There you go. Yeah.
I love it.
It's a Craigslist musical.
Fantastic, dude. I love your theme. All right. Well, my actor is also 39 now. He was in Boy Meets World. He was in Criminal Minds. He was also in Girl Meets World. He was in a few of his brother's projects, like The Wonder Years and Little Monsters, the old Little Monsters. It's Ben Savage. Ben Savage is Fred Savage's little brother, who was also the star of Boy Meets World. You guys don't know about Ben Savage?
I don't know him.
Ben Savage, he's the boy in Boy Meets World.
It's Corey Matthews.
From Boy Meets World.
What's wrong
also,
with
he's
you?
Also, he's got kind of a crooked nose.
He does.
So, Sean, are you on board now?
That's important.
Yes.
It's very critical.
Ben Savage. I can't believe... You guys, Ben Savage. He's
a
boy.
I don't watch...
Boy I know who Disney you're shows. Talking I'm about. Sorry.
That is a Disney show, right?
Nickelodeon? Girl Meets World was Disney, but I don't know if Boy Meets World was.
Well, regardless, he's going to be the best... Cloudy with a Chance of Russo's. And what else do we need to say about this movie?
It's a recommend.
Obvious recommend all around. I can't remember. See, I couldn't remember if I had seen this either. And I started rewatching it and I was like, oh, I have seen this. I knew it at like the first racial epithet that Popeye's spews. And then I was like, wait, but this is actually pretty good. And I kept watching it. And so I recently rewatched The French Connection. And I'm wondering if whenever I watched it before, if I went ahead and watched the sequel, The French Connection 2, Electric Kool-Aid Boogaloo. But I also do want to see the one you were talking about, the Seven Ups, right? Which is kind of an alternate universe sequel.
You can watch it on YouTube, by the way, and it's that weird
in
thing.
In 480p?
No, it's where that weird thing where they show you the whole screen and it's in the top corner.
Oh, altered. Yeah, that's no good. There is a really good subreddit called Full Movies on YouTube. It's reddit.com/r/FullMoviesOnYouTube, and it's some of those. They have to tag it altered if they crop it and put it in, like, you've got other things around it, like snowflakes and stuff.
Oh, yeah, this had little shooting stars
there
in
you
the
go.
Background.
With that, we will go ahead and roll into intermission, but not before we say, let's all go to the lobby, let's all go to the lobby, let's all go to the lobby and get ourselves a bigger boat. All right, Chop Shoppers, thank you for bearing with us during intermission. This is your host, Travis, and I just have one question for you, Sean. What is one way we could make our podcast more prominent?
Oh, if our listeners would rate and review us on iTunes.
Rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes.
And pin your friends down and force them to do it.
Make them go ahead and do a review. We're very under reviewed.
Like make it a whole pyramid scheme. Get the people under them to do it. And multiply.
A Podsy scheme.
Ooh, I like it.
Yes. You folks who are listening right now, it would be fantastic if while you're listening or right after, you don't have to stop the show. Don't stop the show. But if afterwards you could go to iTunes and give us a review or a rating, that would be awesome as well. Or on whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us. We're on a few of them. And also, be aware of our online presence. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/cinemachopshop. We're hosted natively online on Podbean. It's Cinema Chop Shop on Podbean. And our Twitter handle is @CinemaChopShop. We do a lot of stuff on there, like our 2019 movie marathon, where Sean consistently kicks my ass. Also, our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. You can email us anytime. We check it frequently. The beers that we check in after intermission, you're about to find out about some, are always checked in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there. Once again, thank you to you, the listeners. Thank you for tuning in. And enjoy the rest of the show.
And now, on with the show.
All right. Welcome back, Chop Shoppers. Thank you for bearing with us during intermission. Like we said, we had to get a bigger boat. And when we come back from our intermission, what do we like to do, Sean?
Beer check-ins.
All right. And so you used a bottle opener, but it is a twist-off.
Well, I was hoping for a louder.
Yes. And what are we drinking today?
Well, you had the inspiration. I think it's a great idea. We're doing Landshark Lager.
Landshark. And what does it say on that bottle? Can you read that?
Island-style lager.
Uh-huh.
It is...
From?
It's from Margaritaville Brewing.
Yeah, Jimmy Buffett.
St. Louis, Missouri. That's Perfect. Where I think of when I think of Margaritaville.
Every time, man. You've never had a St. Louis margarita?
No.
I mean, it's mostly just lead in your water. No, that's a Detroit margarita. While we enjoy that, we're going to go into our next segment, which is the 2019 Movie Marathon. And this is where we, throughout the calendar year, try to watch as many movies as we can. We check them in with that hashtag, 2019 Movie Marathon. And the day of the year is 312. We are on the 312th day of the year. It's coming to a close. And Sean, what number are you on?
Oh, I am on number 351.
Oh, are you? 351, dude. So you're 14 away?
Yeah.
Wow, my math skills are incredible.
You're on point, bro.
I'm on number 306. I'm 6 behind. Last week I was 5 behind. I fell behind a movie from my pace, but that's okay.
It was you're batching it, so you're gonna catch
up. I'm gonna watch like seven movies. The first one that I think we're both gonna talk about, right?
Yes.
Is one that I was mentioning last week. I was really looking forward to watching, and it for me is number 301. It's called The Peanut Butter Falcon. Now, I know that a lot of you think that this is a Reese's-inspired parody of the Maltese Falcon, but it's actually completely different. Sean, how would you describe this movie?
It's a road film, and it is a redemption role for the much maligned Shia LaBeouf.
Very much so. And I know I can confidently say it was an amazing performance.
I really, really enjoyed this film. Yeah. At its core, it is about a guy who is down on his luck and kind of gets into some trouble that mm-hmm. he starts on his own.
Yeah.
And he's kind of on the run and crosses paths with a Down syndrome boy.
Mm-hmm. Downs on his luck?
he is also on the run because he's broken out of a nursing home.
It's a nursing home where he's been stuck for the past 2 years because he has no family.
But he's roommates with Bruce Dern, which is awesome.
Yeah, Bruce Dern's character is really good. And the main actor, Zach, his name is Zach in real life, and he is a real-life Down syndrome person. He has aspirations to become a pro wrestler.
Yes, and he's obsessed with the wrestling school in Aiden, North Carolina.
I believe so, yes.
Being run by Thomas Hayden Church's character.
The Saltwater Redneck. Thank you. And the majority of the movie takes place in the Outer Banks, North Carolina.
Yeah, so much so that I was wondering if this was like a Nicholas Sparks movie.
Right?
It's all about the Outer Banks. But I guess the last thing we should mention is that, what's her face is in it? Don Johnson's daughter.
Dakota Johnson.
She is in it as the caretaker that is in charge of tracking down
and kind of gets roped into going along on their adventure.
Yeah, it's a great movie, and I really enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And for me personally, there were some cameos from some real life wrestlers that were great. If you listen to our wrestling episode several months ago, it was probably more than a year.
Yeah, it's been a while.
That we mentioned Jake the Snake Roberts in one of my double features about him being down on his luck and in bad health. And he is in this film, and he actually seems to be doing a lot better, as well as Mick Foley is in there as well, in a very
AKA
small... AKA Mankind, Dude Love, etc.
I'm also solid recommend for me. I loved it. I watched it with my lovely wife, Michelle, and she also enjoyed it. And I just kind of got this very feel-good feeling, you know, like it's a feel-good movie.
It's a sweet movie.
Yeah. While we absorb that, how are we enjoying this Landshark?
Serviceable.
It's serviceable. Very, yeah. You could really drink one after mowing the lawn, Shark.
Yeah.
Chelsea, did you try it?
Yeah.
What do you think?
It kind of tastes like water.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have often compared it to an American Corona.
Yeah.
Like a...
But like a watered down.
For Patriots. It's like a Corona for Patriots, Sean.
You're using that word very interestingly.
So, next up, what have you got?
I'm going to check in on theme with this episode, All That Jazz. This is the movie that was... written and directed by Bob Fosse.
Yeah.
And it's loosely based on the life of Bob Fosse.
It's tightly based.
It is extremely, extremely self-indulgent.
Uh-huh. That was the majority of your review in all caps.
Pretty much. Roy Scheider does give a really good performance.
Okay.
As do his female co-stars, I think. His ex-wife, his girlfriend, and his daughter. I think all three of them were really good in the film. Chelsea, you watched this as well.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I had just finished watching the miniseries, Fosse and Verndon.
Hmm.
Basically about him and Gwen and their life together and them trying to start up Chicago.
What was Gwen's last name?
Shut up. This movie is that miniseries, but kind of worse.
It's kind of like condensed and coked up.
Yeah.
And yet it's much older than the miniseries.
Yes. The miniseries is pretty recent. Michelle Williams is in it. Oh. And
we like her.
Yeah.
The guy you always talk about that dances in every movie.
Sam Rockwell.
Thank you.
Very good. All right. I will go with my next one, which is number 302, and it's called In the Shadow of the Moon. This is on Netflix. It kind of popped up out of nowhere. It does have Michael C. Hall. Is that right?
I think you're right.
Michael C. Hall. It's so confusing. Every time I try to think of it, I want to say Anthony Michael Hall. But he's not the main character. He is the brother-in-law of the main character. And it's a time travel movie, so I'm automatically on board. But there are some major ethical dilemmas that you have to confront with this film. As in, like, the question, if you could go back and kill Hitler, would you? Would it change things for the better? I personally am of the philosophy that you should not try to go back and change things because it will create like a butterfly effect and things could very well end up much worse than they were in the first place. But that movie says, fuck all that noise, this movie rather. And they really, really go for it. But there are a lot of things that I have not spoiled in this description.
Sorry. Just throwing things around.
Way to
here.
Go, Butterfinger.
Okay, so we know how Sean feels about my review of In the Shadow of the Moon. What are you, Chelsea, did you have anything you wanted to check in the movie marathon? Anything you've seen recently? Besides the porn parody of All That Jazz?
Oh,
which
that
is called
was good.
What?
All That Jizz.
It's actually a furry porn, and it stars Bob Fosse.
Waka waka. I have one more check-in.
Beer-wise?
No, I do have that, but I also have one more movie check-in.
Okay, do it.
This is my third one, and I am kind of embarrassed to admit I had never seen 12 Angry Men.
I was shocked.
Now, which?
The original.
The original theatrical version, the original film version of 12 Angry Men. Okay, because it has been remade multiple times.
No, this is the one with Henry Fonda, it's a masterpiece of cinema. I mean, I love bottle episodes, anything that can be told in one room.
Yeah.
And this is a masterclass on acting, on directing, on just pacing, and just the all the aspects of human personality and how we interact with one another.
Yeah.
It's such an amazing movie.
Gotcha. All right. High praise for 12 Angry Men. My next one is called The Current War. The Current War, which is, it's kind of an interesting story because it was made and supposed to be released in 2017. But the Harvey Weinstein scandal and, you know, abuse situation caused the movie to be shelved until they could find different distribution. And so it has currently come out, and it is the story of, it's a historical drama about the race to electrify the world. Benedict Cumberbatch plays Thomas Edison. Michael Shannon plays George Westinghouse. Nicholas Holt plays Tesla. And we also get Tom Holland in there as Insull. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really cool. I enjoyed it almost as much as that episode of Drunk History about the very same subject.
Nice. I saw you check this in. I was curious what your take was on it.
I liked it.
You did. Okay, cool.
All right. And what is your other beer check-in you've got over there?
I have popped open a bottle of Event Horizon from Old Hickory. It's a Imperial Stout, and this is aged on rum barrels. And so it's a little rummy, sweet kind of
like on top of the barrels?
No, inside them.
Oh.
Not like a end table.
No.
Although I do want a rum barrel end table. All right, I'm going to taste. Now, you said that you tried it.
I've had Event Horizon in other forms. I generally don't think it's a great stout. It's okay.
It's the right style for the dropping temperatures this time of year.
That's what inspired me to open one.
We are getting into stout season, as well as another season that I'll mention here shortly. So with that, we will go into the second part of our feature segment, which is the recast continued.
Part two.
The sequel.
Redux.
And for the second feature film, we are going to do another movie from 1971. This one is a neo-noir film / crime thriller. It was directed by Alan J. Pakula, which is also the name of a horror exploitation film about a Polish Dracula. the movie is called Klute. Klute.
With Colonel Mustard.
Yes.
Ree Daniels.
One man is missing. Two girls lie dead. And somebody is on the other end of the phone. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
Who is it?
Ree Daniels. Can I come in?
Come in now.
Ree Daniels, girl on the brink. Somewhere among her clientele is a freak who murders call girls.
Sit down.
And a wholly incredible cop who insists her life is worth saving.
I don't think he's going to come back again.
I just don't want to be alone right now.
What else do you remember about the man who beat you up?
Nothing. Except that he wasn't kidding, that's all.
But you cannot identify this man as Tom Grunemann.
I can't identify him as anybody.
Give me your hand. There's someone on the roof.
Would you like my friend Frankie?
Not very much. Hey, your tapes.
Golly gee, just what I've always wanted. Dirty phone calls. Is Mr. Goldfarb there? I've got to talk to somebody. I'm just a little way across town. Can I come over?
Detective Trask, please. Hiya, John Klute. He didn't take the plane. He canceled out. Well, I think this man killed Jane McKenna and killed Arlen Page. I think he drowned them. I think you should prepare yourself for the fact that possibly Tom is dead. But the only way I'm going to find out is to find him.
All right, fine. I'll notify the board as soon as I get to Chicago.
Hello?
Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid.
So it stars Jane Fonda, who was recently in somewhat movie slash protest slash climate emergency news. She has vowed to get arrested every Friday until the government actually acknowledges that climate change is real or does the modicum of response to it. Jane Fonda is Ree Daniels. She's our hooker with a heart of gold. Jane Fonda was 34 at the time. Then we've got the unconventional leading man played by Donald Sutherland. He was 36 at the time.
And John Klute.
John Klute.
What an unfortunate name.
And he is a detective investigating a criminal situation.
Yeah, a guy goes missing, and he's hired by someone to say, well, go find out what happened. And the path leads to Jane Fonda and some of her ladies of the night cohorts.
Gotcha. All right, and then finally we've got, once again, the man of the hour, Roy Scheider, playing Frank Liguori. Frank Liguori, who was Bree's former pimp. And there's a little bit more drama there with one of her fellow prostitutes who ODs, and but he really doesn't end up with a lot of screen time.
Not a lot of screen time, but there is that, and I want to know if there was a scene that was cut from this movie, because remember when she jumps out of the car,
mm-hmm.
and then she goes up the platform, and the next scene she's like stumbling into the club. That Roy Scheider's in. It's like, what happened in that interim? Because she's completely strung out on drugs when she's walking into that club. And I'm thinking...
But he's already in there.
Yeah, but I'm wondering what else was cut? Because it seems like something's missing there.
Interesting. All right. Well, what else do we need to say about the film itself?
Oh my God, it's so long.
It's slow.
Okay.
But the it's beautifully shot. A lot of really good work with shadows.
Yeah.
But it is a slow burn.
Slow burn, yeah. And Chelsea, you're saying a little bit too much of a slow burn.
It was too much. I didn't like it.
Okay.
I found it tedious.
Okay. Well, having never seen it, I enjoyed kind of like the
trailer,
the stylization. No, I mean before researching for this episode, I had never seen it. I did watch it.
Okay.
And I enjoyed the kind of period stylization. But let's go ahead and get into recasting. First, we've got Jane Fonda. She was 34 at the time as Bree Daniels. And Chelsea, who is going to be your Bree?
So my actress was in Aquaman.
Hmm.
The Rum Diaries.
I like The Rum Diaries.
I'm going to go with Amber Heard.
Amber Heard.
Jane Fonda has this like toughness quality that I think she kind of embodies.
Yeah.
So nice. I think she can pull it off. I think Jane Fonda came across a little too sweet. She wasn't
gritty enough?
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Sean, what do you think?
I am picking a 34-year-old actress as well. She was in Pride and Prejudice.
Zombies.
No. She was in Inception. She was in Pirate Radio. And she can be seen playing a sex worker in the HBO series Westworld.
Oh.
It's not who you think. She's also going to be in the upcoming film starring Vin Diesel called Bloodshot. And Bloodshot's an adaptation of a not great comic book about some dude who was killed and brought back to life using like nanotechnology in his bloodstream. Watch the trailer on this.
I heard that the trailer is giving a little bit of promise.
It does. When I saw that this was coming out, I was like, oh, this is just another shitty 90s comic that they're retooling. The trailer makes it look really interesting because they're doing a mind fuck on him.
Okay.
Ooh. And every time he is killed, they bring him back to life and they're putting in his false memories who did him wrong. And basically they're creating a kill list. And he's justified in his killing because he thinks that person did him wrong. Ooh, so anyway.
Speaking of comic book movies, I did watch the first episode of Watchmen the other night. Yeah. And I enjoyed it. I was actually not as much inspired by your advice or this show or anything like that. More so an NPR interview with the creator of the TV program. And they were talking about the Tulsa race riots.
Mm-hmm.
And I also had never heard of it.
Right.
And so went and kind of looked at that and I was like, huh, maybe, yeah, I'll go check it out. And I started watching the program. I enjoyed the first episode and realized that I didn't really remember a whole lot about the movie adaptation. And admittedly, I've never read the graphic novel. So then I went and downloaded the e-comic of Watchmen number one. So I've got that. I'm going to read that first issue and then compare it.
There are a lot of similarities between
the episode of the TV show. Now, did you watched the movie, right?
I watched the movie. I know
what did you think of the movie? Compared to the graphic novel.
As I've always said, Zack Snyder can direct action. He cannot direct human beings.
Okay.
I felt that all of the human interactions were very flat and boring and dead. All of the action sequences were very well done. It was as faithful as he possibly could have been to the graphic novel. That said, it's not the greatest movie ever made.
Okay. Well, apparently, and I can't think of the guy's name, but he refused the project twice because he loves it so much. He wanted to keep his hands off of it. Mm-hmm. So this is not a Watchmen podcast.
Hey, do you want to know who I recast in this role?
Yes.
Anyway, her name is Tallulah Riley.
Oh, yeah.
She's adorably cute.
Very nice. And now, she's not the one with the great big eyes.
No, not her.
And she's not the African-American lady.
Not Tandy Newland,
okay.
No.
Okay. All right. My actress is 34 now. She's Canadian.
And Chelsea.
Thank you.
And she's mostly a television actress. She's known for playing Chloe Armstrong on the sci-fi original series Stargate Universe and the witch Genevieve in The Originals. Her name is Elise Levesque. And I'm doing my very best pronunciation on that name. ELYSE LEVESQUE. Elise Levesque.
Sounds good.
Yeah, okay. Sounds great.
So yeah, she's She's not bad on the eyes. She's statuesque. I think that this will maybe be her big breakout role. Really like bring her into the mainstream so she can sell out and cash in. All right, next up, we've got the unconventional leading man, John Clute. What a unfortunate last name.
I know, right?
He was played by Donald Sutherland. He was 36 at the time. And which of you would like to go first?
I'll go.
All right.
So my actor was in Gone Baby Gone.
Mm-hmm.
But the role that keeps sticking in my head for this is just his affect and atmosphere in the movie Manchester by the Sea.
Is it Casey Affect?
It is. It is.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's a pretty good actor. I'm not sure about in this role, but
no, whatever. I think he can do it.
Sean?
You can be my fan.
All right, so yeah, you're right. He is not the likely hero, and Donald Sutherland made a really strange cop.
Mm-hmm.
Detective, investigator, what have you. I went with a 37-year-old actor
mm-hmm.
who also has kind of sunken, sallow eyes. I think Donald Sutherland's always had that kind of
yeah.
look about him. So this is what attracted me to this particular actor. He was in Scott Pilgrim versus the World. He mm-hmm. was in The Cider House Rules.
Yeah.
He was in Movie 43. And he can currently be seen on HBO in the TV series Succession. It's Kieran Culkin.
Ah, Kieran Culkin. Him. Nice.
He's Igby so Goes good. Down is that's, the best movie.
That's pretty good. It's weird recasting people who are, I don't know, like the next role that we're going to do is my age. And so it's weird like recasting that. So I kind of know how you feel when we recast like 56-year-old Sean.
ouch.
But my John Clute is also an unconventional leading man. But we're getting into his season. He's got three movies coming up back to back to back. First is a movie called Marriage Story with Scarlett Johansson, and it's coming out this weekend. He's also in a movie called The Report, which is a political thriller based on real-life events about the investigation into the CIA's detention and interrogation program created after 9/11. And then also he's in Star Wars, which is a science fiction franchise that was created by George Lucas. It was recently purchased by Disney. His name is Adam Driver, hey, motherfucker.
Hey, something in the water.
Adam Driver is going to be my John Clute. So he's going to work good this year too.
Yeah.
I don't see it.
We're coming up on Adam Driver season.
Like, I don't see it.
You don't see the fact that he's going to work well this year?
No, in that role.
Oh, okay. I see the spite in your face. You're really really throwing those expressions over here. So next we've got the man of the hour once again, Roy Scheider. He was 39 and he was playing the former pimp. No, the current pimp, but her former pimp. His name was Frank Liguori, and I originally in the notes put Ligurin. And then I tried to Google that character's name. And they're like, did you mean Frank Liguori? Sean, you want to take this one?
Sure, I can go first.
All right.
This actor is 40 years old, and I think you'd do well as a pimp
mm-hmm.
and drug dealer type kind of guy.
Real shady type.
He was in the movie Need for Speed. He was in Central Intelligence and A Long Way Down, but everyone knows him as Jesse Pinkman. In Breaking Bad, it's Aaron Paul.
Aaron Paul? Nice. All right. My Roy Scheider, my Frank Liguori, is going to wait until after Chelsea goes.
Oh, okay. So my actor was in 310 to Yuma mm-hmm. and The Messengers. Just a slimy dude. Can play a slimy dude. I don't personally know him. No, Ben Foster.
Oh, Ben Foster. I thought about him for this as well. Right? Yeah, he's good. And he's got that crooked nose.
Yep.
He sure does. He was really good in, what is that modern Western? Hell or High Water with Chris Pine and Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges also?
Yeah.
I think so. Good stuff. My actor is 39 years young. And he's in a movie called Tharby Dragons. It's actually There Be Dragons, but I just wanted to say it. There Be Dragons! He's in The Hunger Games, one of them. He's in American Horror Story Hotel?
Yes.
He came onto everyone's radar in 1999 in American Beauty. His name is Wes Bentley. Wes Bentley is going to be my Frank Liguori.
I used him like 2 weeks ago.
Sweet, yeah. Dude. Yeah. Did you talk about the Hunger Games?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sweet facial hair? Yeah. Well, it's not my fault. He's my very same young age of 39. How do we feel about Clute?
It was a good movie, but no. It's super slow paced.
Okay.
I think that it's slow burns like these are not easy sells mm-hmm. in this day and age with our short attention spans.
Yeah.
I think a remake would probably be about 30 minutes shorter.
They should have a warning on it, not mm-hmm. for millennials.
All right. Rude.
Okay, boomer.
Did you hear about the Australian parliament lady?
New Zealand, or whatever? Yeah.
Oh, it was New Zealand, wasn't it? Oops, they're coming after me. Got to watch out for those Kiwis. Are we done with Clute?
Yes, please.
I don't know. Maybe we could talk about it for another 35, 40 minutes. And so that's going to bring us to our bonus segment tonight, which is going to be a battle royale between, at their prime, the likes of Roy Scheider versus Rob Schneider versus Rob Reiner. And this battle royale was at the suggestion of Sean's lovely wife, Allie.
Yes.
And so who would like to go first on this?
I'll take a stab at it. All right, let's see. Roy Scheider at his prime. I think we're going to call that the Jaws era.
Uh-huh.
So, he's lifeguarding it or, you know, patrolling the beach.
Mm-hmm.
You got Rob Schneider.
He's making copies.
He's standing there telling people, you can do it.
You can do it.
And then you got Rob Reiner. Are you considering...
A.K.A. Meathead.
You got Meathead as his prime?
I would think so, in terms of physicality.
Yeah,
He's not going to impress them with his romantic comedy directing skills.
I don't know. I kind of picture him as being at his prime around Spinal Tap.
Okay.
And Harry Met Sally.
Okay, that's fine.
So I think that... I just don't know.
How is this hard?
I don't know.
Roy's going to kill them all.
You think Roy's got them all?
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think, contest.
I think Roy is the batter ass of them all. I was just trying to think if Rob Schneider could do some sort of, I don't know, something wacky, something crazy, something mm-hmm. dirty.
Oh, he's going to do a wacky, crazy, dirty movie called How Is This Hard?
Who's your pick?
My pick is definitely going to be Rob Schneider as well because he can do it. And also, he was the reluctant father of Elle King, the awesome musician. So even though she doesn't really claim him as her real dad, but he is. He impregnated a Bond girl and they had Elle King. So I'm going with Rob Schneider. And you're going Roy Scheider.
Oh, absolutely.
I think I'm going to have to settle in on Roy Scheider.
I think
he's just too badass.
All right, well, yes. y'all are both wrong, and Meathead disagrees as well. With that, we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. And Chelsea, I'd like to thank you for being a guest this week.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
For thanking me this time.
No, thank you for thanking me for thanking you. And do you have anything that you want to plug?
No, I don't.
Okay. And the new line of Chelsea's plugs are called How Is This Hard? So also, we want to thank the engineer, my co-host and co-producer, the brew boss himself, Sean. Thank you for doing what you do each week.
You got it, man.
And anything you want to plug?
We got cool stuff coming up at the brewery. We've got an 80s night.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a block party. I don't even know.
Are those on the same night?
No, like a week apart. But
block party's probably around Thanksgiving, right?
No, it's on the 20th. 80s night is on the 15th.
Thank you very
much. You're welcome.
So, be sure to check us out on Facebook. All of those events are listed. There's a beer dinner coming up. I don't know the menu for that one.
Check out the Seminar Facebook and the Downtown Southern Funk Facebook. And always check out seminarbrewing.com.
Oh, yeah. All month, we're going to be doing food discounts for medical field workers
on Mondays.
And then Teacher Tuesdays.
Yep.
So, if you want to get a little discount on your food from Downtown Southern Funk, check it out.
Very cool. And do you know what next week's episode is?
Next week's episode
is... controversial one.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, we're doing Scorsese, right?
Martin Scorsese, in celebration of his 77th birthday on November 17th.
Hey, guess what?
What?
Be on that episode.
Whoop, whoop! And you're bringing a friend?
Perhaps. I don't know yet.
Bringing a friend. That'll be a surprise.
See. Yes.
Possible surprise guest.
Possible.
Or maybe a surprise, not a surprise.
Yeah.
And then... Also, we want to plug the podcast itself. Please remember to rate, review, and subscribe to us on iTunes or whatever podcatcher app it is that you're listening to us on at this very moment. We're hosted natively on Podbean. We're Cinema Chop Shop on there. We can tweet at you and you can tweet at us. It's at Cinema Chop Shop on Twitter. Facebook.com/CinemaChopShop. And also our Gmail. I actually did check an email recently. It was from Andrew. Our email address is cinemachopshop@gmail.com. Andrew got a job working as a security guard for the Canadian government. So basically...
Ooh. He's a Mountie.
He's basically a Mountie now. Which is...
That's amazing.
Which is pretty awesome. Also, the beers that we checked in tonight and one from last week that I've not yet checked in. We checked those in on Untappd. That's UNTAPPD. And we are Cinema Chop Shop on there as well. As always, we want to say farewell and thank you, the listeners. And please remember to
watch, chop, retrofit.
Nobody.
Nobody, baby.